Moncrief on News Talk.
The newest thing in dating is a practice called shrekking. Yes, it's all over for good-looking men, as female singletons search for partners less attractive than themselves. Fiona Cooney writes a dating column for Evoke.ie called No Sex and the City. Good afternoon, Fiona.
Hi, Sean. How are you? Thanks for having me.
So people who decide to go shrekking, this seems to be based on an assumption about their own attractiveness.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. First and foremost, I have to say, I'm not a fan of the name this has been given, shrekking. I think it's a little bit harsh. I mean, if the roles were reversed and it was men who had come up with this trend and they were maybe using a word like, you know, shrewing or something, we'd be going mad. So first of all, let me get that out of the way. But yeah, it's this ideal, I suppose, that dating down is somewhat a way to kind of safeguard your heart and stop you from getting hurt, which is, yeah, a bit ridiculous in my mind.
So even the term dating down is because it sounds like, because everything's based off the app, so it's just purely based on how someone looks as to their kind of what their worth is.
Oh, absolutely. And when you think about it, it's no different from dating, going on a date with someone because they're good looking. You're just basing your decision to meet this person on what they look. And it has nothing to do with about, you know, their goals, their interests. They're all the things you need in order to like create a proper spark. Whereas, you know, there's no guarantee. You could go on a date with someone that you don't find attractive. And like that, they could treat you just as bad as someone who's, you know, good looking. So it's just, it really is it's a flawed theory in my eyes.
Sure. But it doesn't imply, though, that an awful lot of people who are on the apps are just going out with people without really talking to them much. They just go, oh, he's pretty, I'll go out with him.
Yeah, do you know what? I think there tends to be, when it comes to apps, there's kind of two types of people on them. There's the slow burners that like to build up that rapport, spend a bit of time, maybe wait a bit, go to like swap numbers before they meet. There's this little kind of, I suppose there's an order of affairs for some people. They'll talk on the app for a bit. If it's going well, they'll give them their number. It'll move to WhatsApp. And then they'll consider maybe going for a coffee, a walk, something really light and easy. And then there's the other extreme where it's like, all right, we matched. When are we meeting for a drink? So there's really kind of, there's two, I suppose it's a bit of a scale really. And it depends where you fall into that. I suppose it's down to your preference and what you're looking for.
Yeah. Okay. I'm surprised that there are people in the second category at all, because if you're just like, we match, let's go for a drink, please remember to bring your serial killer, you know, gloves and bag when you go along to meet me.
Absolutely. It's Russian roulette. That's for sure. But then I suppose time is of the essence. Some people like, you snooze, you lose. Let's not waste time doing the small talk. Let's meet and see if there is a connection, because it can be hard to gauge on an app. So some people are like, well, let's just meet and see. At least that will save each other, you know, a couple of weeks of back and forth if it's not there, you know?
Yeah. Does all this, though, and this is all kind of survival of the fittest stuff, that people who are shrekking, are they looking for love per se in the healthy sense that I will love you and you will love me? Or is it just looking for somebody who's going to, they love me because obviously I'm too good for them?
Well, do you know what? I think again, we've got two ways of looking at it. You've people, I suppose, that are, you know, maybe afraid of getting hurt, or in the sense they want a safeguard, and they've maybe gone for typically really good looking people in the past and it hasn't worked. And so they want to change and try a different tactic, and then are in the hopes that, you know, when they try a different approach, that the person will become more attractive to them the more they get to know them. And then there's maybe the other type where people perhaps are looking for an ego boost. They want the power in the relationship. They're thinking, this person will treat me well because they're lucky to have me.
Yeah, because from what I've read about it, is that like that people have done this, it hasn't gone well.
No.
And then they're saying things like, my God, how could he treat me badly? Because, you know, let's face it, I was too good for him and he didn't seem to see that.
Exactly. Again, because it's all based on physical. So they've made these assumptions about a person based on what they've looked like. They haven't really paid too much attention to, okay, what is their interests? You know, what is he like? What are their goals? What do they want for the future? They've gone, you know what? I think I'm the looker in this equation. So, you know, at least at the very least, I'm going to get out of this unscathed. And I think that's a dangerous approach and a pretty damning sign of the times, if I'm honest.
If people are doing this for whatever reason, though, it's a bit grim, is actually trying to find someone on the apps just a horrible experience?
Well, do you know what? I feel like there are people the apps work for amazingly. Like I have two close friends. One is married to someone she met on an app. Another is in a long-term committed relationship. So it's a little bit like playing the lotto. Like you can strike gold, you know? And then there are other people who are just having no luck whatsoever, and they're finding themselves being ghosted or getting matches and then not hearing anything. I think apps tend to kind of dehumanize people a little. So in that sense, it's easy to be dismissive. We can, you know, ignore a message. We can X or swipe left on someone because we don't really know them. They're a face on a screen. So that kind of human element is taken out of it. So it can be really, really tough to find an actual human connection through a screen.
Yeah. No, because you compared it to playing the lotto. The odds of winning the lotto are astronomical. So does that mean that most people are in that second category? They're just nearly having...
Maybe the lotto comparison was a bit too extreme, but there are some great success stories. And for some people, it really does work. You know, not everyone likes to go out and socialize, you know, in the settings that you would typically think you'd meet someone. Not everyone wants to go drinking or, you know, so it can, for people who don't like that, it's a great alternative, and they can, in the safety net of their own home, they can start this up. But then for others like me, I prefer a more kind of, I suppose, natural meet cute, as you know, as they would say, you know, a back to basics approach, which is a little tougher to find these days because, yeah, we have so many ways to communicate, but I think our basic communication skills have suffered as a result, you know?
Yeah, but I suppose the difference, or would this be true? Do you think that the difference between meeting somebody in real life, no matter what the context of that, will always be different than if you're doing it online because you're at a remove from the person? And, you know, social media doesn't always bring out the best in people.
Absolutely, of course. And it can be, a person can be great, you know, technically on paper or through text, but it might not translate when you meet them in person. So you're always taking a risk. So yeah, absolutely. People can, I suppose it's almost really a wall for some people, a safety net behind a, you know, when they're on a phone, whereas when that, you know, that safety net is dropped when they have to go and meet them in person, they're not able to kind of communicate as well or really kind of bring their, you know, their best self forward. It's a tricky one. Not everyone's cut out for it, that's for sure.
And Fiona, I don't want to pry into your personal life, but are you in a relationship? Are you in the, well, are you in the front lines of all this? Are you?
Oh, I'm down in the trenches. It's pretty brutal out there, Sean, I'm not going to lie. No, I am single and ready to mingle. But with that said, I'm not great in terms of the apps. I do prefer an old school approach to meeting someone. So I've started, you know, going to singles mixers and just trying different things in terms of, like, I suppose the more traditional, I'll go out for a night out and someone might offer to buy me a drink. That doesn't necessarily happen anymore. So I think there are avenues if you're willing to kind of look outside the box and put yourself out there in other ways. Like, singles mixers are a great idea. And, you know, group activities, less pressure. There's none of this one-on-one blind dating kind of pressure. But yeah, there's a lot of alternatives to the apps, you know. A lot of people have, you know, app fatigue, and there are other options out there. So stay positive.
Okay, yeah. So what happens at a singles mixer?
Oh, so I went to one called Pitch a Friend. So basically you get your best friend to create a PDF and basically pitch you to a room of singles, kind of convince the room as to why they should want to date you. And then at the end of the event, if somebody likes you, they can come up and start a chat and, you know, ask for your number. That was brilliant. And then there's actual just single events, like a single night at a, you know, a pub might host a single quiz or just a single theme night. And it's just removes a lot of the pressure. And a lot of the times you don't have to just go with single people. You can have your friends that are in relationships. They can be your wingman, your wingwoman. It kind of cuts out a lot of the pressure. And when you think about it, Sean, when you hear of the older generations and they tell us how they used to meet each other, a lot of times it was, I went to a dance, somebody asked me to dance, and then away we went. So there's a more, I think a back to basics approach really is the answer for people looking for something a little more genuine.
Yeah, well, your generation just don't get drunk anymore. That's the problem. If it wasn't for, alcohol, the Irish would be extinct as a nation.
A bit of Dutch courage never hurt anyone.
Absolutely. Fiona, thanks a million for talking to us today. Fiona Cooney writes the dating column, No Sex in the City, for evoke.ie.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.